Hello, everyone. It's Pastor Min again. Hey. All right. Let's get some smiles. I want to see some smiles here. We are Christians. No matter how hard life is, we want to smile. Okay. This is Pastor Min. How's everybody doing? Yeah. Very good, Berg. I'm just kind of kidding with you guys. Thanks for sharing, Allison. What? You're going to China and not coming back until winter quarter? That is unacceptable.
I will be still on Zoom.
What are you saying? But anyway, you know, God is sovereign. I'm sure he will. He is doing what is best for you. And I just want to say, Allison, I failed my first test. I passed on the second test. And I grew up in America, so, you know, I should be even much better than that. But anyway, so we all kind of have our history of failures. But God loves us just the same. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And he is sovereign, as you say. Okay, well, this is a sovereign moment. We kind of have a alternating schedule of me and our missionaries speaking on Thursdays. And today is my turn. And it just happens that we thought priority living for the glory of God is something that we have not covered for a long time. And with that, this would be a good topic, especially now that because of COVID, we are all taking classes and doing work at home. It takes kind of an extra personal self-control to do the right things first. First thing first. And so we're going to talk about priority living for the glory of God tonight. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for just the blessing of life. Because of you, Heavenly Father, because of you, Lord Jesus, because of you, Holy Spirit, we have life. And even though we were away from you, for a while, but then you met us each individually and blessed us with a personal encounter with you, personal salvation testimony, to know you and to love you and to come into a saving relationship with you. So thank you, God, for the salvation we have in Christ, not because we deserve it, but because of your love for us. And so, Lord, for you have loved us so, we want to love you back. And so, Lord, if it means that we self-control our lives to submit it to you, to glorify you, and to live a priority life as you call us to, we desire to do that. So would you bless this time together? May your Holy Spirit direct our time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So priority living. So let's see, priority living from my memory of my younger days. The way God gave me a way to live according to his priority is that he gave me three questions to ask. Whenever I make decisions, three questions to ask. And it's a pretty simple question. I don't know who gave it to me, but somebody said these are good three questions. And so I started using it just in making every small to big decisions. And those are, number one is, what does it mean to love God the most? First question I ask is, what does it mean to love God the most? Should I do this or should I do that? And I should do basically whatever will help me to love God the most. Secondly, God gave me, the second question was, what does it mean to love people the most? What does it mean to love God the most? And what does it mean to love people the most? So I threw that question in making my decision. And lastly, what does it mean to glorify God and grow the most? What does it mean to glorify God and grow the most? Is this the third question? Actually, it's more simply, what does it mean to grow the most? How can I grow the most? So when I throw these questions on any particular situation, it just kind of knocks out many options. It makes life much, much more simpler, okay? So whether I'm going to take three classes or four classes, you know, even should I major in that, this or that? Should I hang out with these people or not? You know what? I used to have some not so good friends. You know, freshman to sophomore, I was beginning to get closer to God in my sophomore year. But even up to sophomore year, I had a bunch of friends who, you know, invite me to do sinful things. You know, and so, but after my kind of recommitment conference at the end of sophomore year, I was just touched by the Holy Spirit, and I was serious in living for God's glory. So I start using these three questions. And one of the questions was, what does it mean to love God the most? In this situation, when my friends call me and they want to do something sinful. Oh, that was pretty clear. So, and loving people the most, I wasn't thinking too much about that, but at least loving God the most, it wasn't right for me to go off with my friends, you know, and sin. Strangely enough, these friends were Christians too. So, but anyway, that's just my memory of, making decisions in what is my priority? What should I live for? But anyway, so I just wanted to help you guys also kind of think through and process how you can come to understand what priority living is, and also how you can make some good decision to glorify God. And some of the scriptures that highlights this is 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. Did we miss something? For the glory of God. Okay, there it is. We missed part of it. So do it all for the glory of God. So this is in the context of eating and drinking, or, you know, whether you eat this or that. But whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen? So, you know, this is scripture. This is God's calling for his people. Whatever we do, whether we do A, B, C, we should do for God's glory. So priority living, to live my life according to God's priority, should be for God's glory. Not for me to feel like I need to make sure I don't make a mistake. What if I lose out by not living the right life? It's not about myself, but it's about God, glorifying God. Secondly, this verse has a very clear priority word. It says here, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So there's a two-part. First, you should seek this, and then these things God will give you, right? So this is pretty clearly a priority passage. There's a first thing to do, and then second, third, fourth thing comes thereafter, but at least there's a very clear first thing to do. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then he will give all these things to us as well. So that means there's more things than one thing to do, right? There's the first thing, and there's all these things. So all these things could have second thing, third thing, fourth thing, and fifth thing. But why do you choose the first thing and not the two, three, four, fifth, sixth thing? Is because God clearly sets the priority. So do you know the where? Do you know where the word priority came from? Well, I don't either. But my guess is, it's because there's always something more important than another. So priority means one thing is a priority over another thing. So they're not all equal, but there's something priority than another. Before, yes, very good. Jeremy says the meaning of the word priority is before, because there's something before another. That was just my own interpretation, but I guessed it correctly. So, but it's clearly in the scripture, there is a first thing. There could be a second, a third thing, but first thing first. That's what we're called to live for, but for God's glory. Next thing is, Jesus called, a teacher of the law came. What is the most important law in the scripture? That's Old Testament scripture. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. All your heart with all your soul and all your mind. And likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. So among all the many laws in the Old Testament, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important law in the Old Testament? So that means this most important is top priority. Jesus is saying that the top priority of the Old Testament law is that we love the Lord God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. That means just basically give it all. Do it with all yourself, to love the Lord your God. And same thing is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second command. So their priority number one is loving the Lord. Priority number two is loving your neighbor. And I'm sure there's priority number three, four, five, There's all kinds of other laws there. But there's a priority. Love the Lord your God. So Old Testament talks about, Jesus talks about Old Testament priority. And the last one I just wanted to highlight is, what is it? John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So for this command, God is saying, this is how you can love Jesus and love the Father. If we are living a priority life, we live for his glory, but one of the glory is that we love our Lord. Love it, do it out of loving the Lord, not because you have to live according to the biblical priority, not to be seen as, oh, this man is pretty disciplined. He's living by godly priority. To be recognized by people is not the reason why you live priority living, but you want to love Jesus and love God. And by keeping his commandments, it's also to keep his commandments, to be obedient to his commandments so we can love Jesus. Okay, that's my message. Not really. If you know me, I'm kind of long-winded, so I'll try to be short, but it's I got quite a bit of material here. So, but these are biblical guidelines as to why we are to live a priority life. But I gotta take you through a couple of tests. First thing is the commitment test. Commitment test. There's no use listening to this message if you are not committed to the following things, and it's related to these verses. First, your commitment check. You will learn something today, and you may take home, and possibly your life may change a little if you can say yes to each of these questions. If it's a no, then this message really won't help you much because you haven't decided to live the priority life. So the first question is, are you committed to glorifying God with everything in your life? Oh, it says in my life, in your life. Are you committed to glorify God with everything in your life? Are you committed to glorify God? Okay. If it's a yes, then you could go to the next question. Second question is, are you committed to seeking God, to seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness? Are you committed to seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness? If you're committed to seeking your career, if you're committed to seeking your pleasure first, then this message won't help you. You're not serious enough. You're not committed to glorify God or to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Because that's a command. It's a imperative, something we need to say, yes, I will obey. When you have agreed with God, I will obey, then you have a hope of living a godly priority life. Third question is, are you committed to loving the Lord your God and your neighbor with all your hearts, soul, and mind? Are you committed to loving the Lord your God and your neighbor with all your hearts, souls, and mind? If it's a yes, then this message will help you. The fourth thing is, I think this may be the last one, are you committed to loving Jesus by keeping his commandment? You realize this is about a love driving force, nothing else. Not to look good, not to be disciplined, you know, not to, not be rebuked by your leader. None of those. Are you committed to love Jesus, to loving Jesus by keeping his commandment? This is about obeying his commandments. But even obeying his commandments is about loving Jesus. Amen? So how many of you have answered yes, 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 yes? Give me a V sign.
Right on.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Okay, UCLA, you can go like this. UV, 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 UCLA victory. So if you guys have pass the test to say yes, 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 yes on each of these questions, then we could proceed. We could proceed. And what we're proceeding to next is your priority check. Oh, wait a minute. Did I have one more? Oh, I got a second number four. Sorry. Are you committed to being a true disciple of Jesus? Everything above is, are you committed to being a true disciple of Christ? I think there's two, that's kind of similar, I guess. So, you know, being a disciple of Christ. So you need, it's five yeses, sorry. Like, you need to have this five yeses. And final one is, I am committed to being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Very good. So when you're ready with this one, we can go into assessing our priority today. Let's see where your priority is. We're going to have a priority check. So, number one is arrange the following categories in order of priority in your current life. Okay, so I'm not sure which is number one. If you're number one, what you are living right now, the way you're living, prioritize, like, if school's number one, put it on top. If career is number two, put it on number two. And then there's many things. So school or work, entertainment, drawing near to God, leisure activities and hobbies, family, exercise and workout, good works, helping others, you know, spiritual ministry, and possibly other categories I might have missed. So you could put other categories. And after you have all your possible categories, organize it in a way that you have it in your life right now. Okay? And we'll come back. Okay? So I'll give you like 3 minutes. All right? This is really short. So I want to give you 3 minutes. So come back in 3 minutes with your priority. Okay, ready, get set, go. Who's next? Anybody else want to share what they think is a priority that would glorify God? One more.
I can go.
Okay.
First could be saying draw near to God. Second would be, I think his good works are helping others. Third is spiritual ministry. And afterwards is, fellowship is added. I guess fellowship, and then family, and then schoolwork, and then entertainments and other things.
Okay. Yes, we added friends and fellowship there. So this should be a complete version now. Okay, very good. Well, this was your priority check, and to consider what you think is God's priority. Actually, apart from God being at the top, sometimes things may shift. You know, when you're in at home, it may be your next ministry is your family. You see what I'm saying? But when you're at school, your next thing might be your roommates or, you know, your fellowship or whatever spiritual ministry. Or it could be even schoolwork when you're not doing well. You know, schoolwork could be that too. But seeking God, we know for sure, is God's priority. And from that drawing near to God and having a relationship with God, God could dictate the number 2, 3, and 4 depending on different contexts and different timing. So the rest of the stuff, I would say, can be shifting according to God's will at the time and in your location. You know what I'm saying? So, but let's see. Let's have some more priority check, or next one would be priority quiz. Okay? So, you know, we're just going to ask one question by question. Unmute yourself and volunteer to tell us the priority. Okay? 1, 2, 3. It's three things. Each of these are three things. Okay, so unmute yourself. Okay, what is the proper priority life? Order it according to the highest to lowest. Ready? First one, between hanging out with friends, doing homework, watching TV. Okay, somebody. Unmute yourself. Go ahead. Fine.
Sorry, that was echo problem.
Yeah.
That's okay now? Oh, okay. Sorry, we had problems. This seems like an easy one, but honestly, there could be, what if your friend actually needs encouragement and love? So it definitely varies from situation to situation, but I think generally, assuming that the things guiding your interests are kind of like as blatantly stated as like most people would assume it would be homework, friends, and then TV. But honestly, there's contexts in which friends could probably definitely come first. For example, like if your friend is like really struggling or really heartbroken or
Very good. So. Just give us 1, 2, 3.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, next one. Who wants to do it?
Not TV.
Okay, let's just give us 1, 2, 3, all right? Okay, next person who wants to do this one? Between dinner with friends, working out, and Bible study.
I feel like that one is a bit more up in the air because I would definitely put Bible study first, but the other two are kind of hard to decide between because working out is super important because you're supposed to take care of yourself and whatnot. But in a lot of cases, dinner with friends would be something that you had previously planned and you need to honor that commitment. So if that's the case and it was like a pre-planned thing and everyone's expecting you to be there, I would put that second after Bible study, because it's like something, it's like you don't want to flake on them.
Right.
It's not, that's not to say that working out is necessarily unimportant. I would just,
yeah. Right. So yeah, it seems like, let's give them a round of applause. Who's that? Sarah. Hello, Sarah. Thank you. Okay, next one. Yeah, so sometimes situationally, it could go either way, right? So there's no permanent answer here. Okay, next one. Who wants to share this one? Going home, studying for a test, going to church.
Church, test, home.
Church, test, home. Okay, home is last in this situation. Okay, very good. Unless like your parent is parent is sick and they need to go to the hospital maybe. So it could be a situational context also. Okay, next. Anyone? Think studying, helping a friend, going to rally or fellowship. They're all good. It's a tough one. Well, I think you should pray and ask God what should be first. Okay, next one. Between helping your parents, studying, sharing your faith with a friend.
This one's
okay,
funny.
Adele. Oh. Oh, no, is Richard? Okay, okay.
Theoretically, the answer would be sharing your faith, helping your parents, and studying for me. But I don't have any friends. I don't have enough friends to share my faith with a new one. So,
okay.
That one's actually the last.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what's it between helping parents and studying?
Helping parents first.
Okay, helping parents. Oh, you're a good son. You're a good son. Okay, thank you very much. Unless you ask your parents and you tell them that I have a test tomorrow, Mom. And if your mom says, go study, son, then you got the permission. Okay, next one. Between eating quiet time and watching the news.
You can quiet time and eat breakfast at the same time and just don't watch the news because it's not good for your soul.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I took that from Leroy Imes. He said you should QT while you're eating breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Start
disciple making.
Wait a minute. The word of God comes before food, isn't it?
It's at the same time. You're okay, hungering and thirsting after righteousness.
Okay, okay, all right, very good. Next one. Between watching TV, studying, work, quiet time. I think that could be clearer, right? Okay, quiet time, study, work. Watching TV. All right, next one. Between personal hobbies, spiritual equipping, doing extra work for money. This could be more for professionals. Okay, I'll let you ponder. Next one. Between pursuing my passion, obeying God, and career building. Whoa, pursuing my passion. Doesn't have to be career, but it could be other stuff. And obeying God and career building. Okay, well, some of these things could be not so clear, and it could be pretty challenging, right? Okay, now that we went through our priority check and priority quiz, I think what I want to just conclude with this is the same three questions I wanted to ask when I made decisions is, what does it mean to love God the most? What does it mean to love people the most? And what does it mean for me to glorify God and grow the most? So in that glorifying God, there could be all the other options of priorities. But the couple of more things that I wanted to share before we end is the main thing, actually. The fourth thing is, what is the cost of not living out God's priority of life? What is the cost of not living out God's priority? Learning from King Asa. Okay, this is a couple of four long passages. So I'm going to have somebody read it one by one. Okay, Adele, you could read the first paragraph. First passage. This is about King Asa, who was relatively a good king, but, you know, did not end well, but he started well. Go ahead.
Okay. Second Chronicles 14, 11 to 13. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder.
So this was actually the first major battle that came to Judah when Asa became king of the southern kingdom. And the Cushites came by about pretty massive amount, about a million soldiers. And they were helpless. They were small compared to the Cushites, who came from North Africa. I think they might be the Ethiopians. And so at that time, Asa, you know, did right in the sight of the Lord. And he said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. And so the Lord struck down the Cushites, about a million of them, before Asa and Judah. When the Cushites fled, and the men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. So in priority, he didn't rely on any people or himself or anything else, but he sought the Lord first. He sought the Lord. This was an impossible situation, but in the early years when Asa tore down the high places and idols in the land, he did many things right, including this trusting the Lord when million soldier army came from Ethiopia. So, you know, they were able to have great victory and even carry off large amount of plunder. So they were victorious against a great army, and they also gained a lot of you know, supplies and materials from the army that fled. So the Lord came to him, said the next thing. Okay, Hannah, is Hannah around? Okay, Hannah, you can read the next one.
Okay, Second Chronicles 15, 1-4. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him, If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to God, to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them.
So God sent them a messenger after experiencing great victory, and he just wanted to reaffirm if he seek the Lord, that God will be found by him. So the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without priests to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, and the Lord of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. So this is kind of a teaching, an affirmation that you've done well in trusting the Lord. If you continue to seek him, you know, the Lord will be found, and that he would be with him. So then a new situation came. The new situation came. So the fourth one, let's have, okay, Brent, you can read this one.
Okay. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha king of Israel went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa king of Judah. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasures of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. Second Chronicles.
Thank you. So this is a new situation. But this time, what happened was the northern kingdom, King Baasha of Israel, came against Judah. Israel went against his brother, Judah, and came to attack. But when that happened, instead of doing the same thing that he did previously when million Cushites came against him, instead what King Asa did was he took silver and gold out of the treasury of the Lord's temple. Who does that belong to, the gold and silver in the treasury? It belongs to the Lord, but he took it out from the treasury of the temple of the Lord and sent the silver and gold to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, northern king, and who's ruling in Damascus. And he said, let there be a treaty between you and me. And there was, there was between my father and your fathers. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel. You know, so Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, actually had a treaty with Baasha, king of Israel. But by sending this silver and gold, King Asa strategically tried to break the alliance between Aram and Israel. And in fact, he succeeded. Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his force against the town in Israel. So when Aram's Ben-Hadad started attacking north part of Israel, then Baasha, king of Israel, had to retreat to defend his own northern, you know, border. And so actually he indeed succeeded in pushing away Baasha, king of Israel, by his own strategy. Instead of trusting God, what did he do? He trusted in himself. He trusted in his neighboring, king of Aram. And he trusted in his own strategy. He didn't put the priority in trusting God. So what happened? Okay, the next one. Let's have Stephen, you can read the last paragraph of this verse.
Okay. At the time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. Second Chronicles 16.
Asa actually was a good king in the beginning. But look what he did. He was angry with the seer who brought the truth to God. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. And at the same time, he brutally oppressed some of the people, his own people. Whoa. That's what happens when you start trusting in yourself instead of God. And you start going away from life that glorifies God. So you know what happened, right? This time he trusted himself, his strategy, and his neighboring king. He didn't seek the Lord. So God sent Hanani the seer to rebuke Asa, king of Judah. "Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped your hand." You know what this means? If Asa trusted in God, God could have given him the king of Aram as well. He would have reigned not only even Israel, Baasha, king of Israel, but even Aram could have been under his reign and blessing. So what this means is that when you trust God, God may even have a greater plan of blessing. But because you trust yourself first, you lose the greater blessing, the greater grace God would have. Would have had planned for you. Whoa, is this kind of a sobering example? The cost of not living by priority of trusting God. So therefore, God, in verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So this is God's priority. Right? God's priority is pretty clear in verse 9. God is going out throughout the land looking for people whose heart is fully committed to God so God can support him, bless him more. How many of you want more of God's blessing and more to be used by him? Everybody says, thumbs up. We want to be blessed by him. We want to receive the fullness of his blessing that he has in store for us as we trust him as a priority. We want to be used by him in the best way that we were meant to be used. Well, the priority is our hearts need to be fully committed to him. Firstly, our hearts need to be fully committed to him. Well, here's a lesson from the Old Testament. Well, what does Jesus think? That's my final point, is what is Jesus' top priority? Oops, I didn't put the verse down. Is that Luke 10?
Yeah.
Let's go to Luke 10. And let's see who's out there. Okay. All right. Deborah. Is Deborah out there? Okay, Deborah could read, what is it? Luke 10.
38 to 42. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'"
So you know, Jesus had, you know, friends, specifically Martha, Mary, and who's the one who Jesus raised? The brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus. And so he was visiting their house, and sure enough, when important people come to your house, what typically these Middle Eastern or Eastern people do is they go and prepare food for the guest. That's the normally the polite thing to do, I guess, is you know, just being hospitable. So when Jesus came, as soon as he came in, what did Mary do instead? Instead of being a good Asian, Middle Eastern kind of woman who goes to the kitchen to prepare for the guest, she went to the feet of Jesus and was eager to listen to what he had to say. He loved Jesus so much and wanted to hear what she loved Jesus so much and was more interested in what he had to say than her, you know, womanly duty at that time to go prepare for the guest, because she loved Jesus so much. But instead, Martha, actually, she was being a good hospitable woman. She Jesus, please sit down, let me go to the kitchen and prepare some food for us. And so she was busily cooking, and I'm not sure what it takes to cook for like three people. Maybe there are some more people, but it seems like it was pretty stressful. Martha was a bit unsatisfied with Mary. You know, she was preparing, and I think she was a bit overly stressed. And say, Martha told Jesus, "Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me." But instead, Jesus responded saying, "Mary, Mary, you have so many concerns, but you know, only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the right one." So for Jesus, what's the priority? What's that one thing that Jesus considered as a priority? Is what Mary chose. That is to come before the feet of Jesus, to love him, to be more concerned about listening to him, enjoying him, even over serving him, even over serving. Coming to Jesus is a priority over even serving Jesus. Because Martha was definitely, she had a heart to love Jesus by serving him with food. But even more than serving Jesus, you know, Jesus is more concerned about our heart wanting to come and enjoy him, you know, in his presence, to hear his word, to enjoy what Jesus have to say. So here it is. Jesus's top priority is that one thing, that we would first desire to come before his feet, enjoy his fellowship, and enjoy his presence. So I think I want to end it with, you know, there could be 1, 2, 3, 4 priority, but I think the most important thing is, top thing is just drawing near to God. Drawing near to Jesus is the top priority. And when you fellowship with God, fellowship with Jesus, he will make the other number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 very clear for us. That's situationally and relationally, you know, it's something that we are to receive from Jesus. What are the number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thereafter? But the one thing that we need to keep as a highest of priority is drawing near to God and coming to Jesus. Amen? That's it. I'm done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this short talk of priority living. And Lord, life is complicated. Situation changes. But one thing that doesn't change is you and our call to come to fellowship with you, to be committed to you, to draw near to you and come and fellowship with you. So Lord, would you help us to make that our highest priority even through each day, so that you would be glorified and our lives be blessed, according to your goodwill. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.